Welcome to the Life Investigative Podcast today on this April the 4th, 2024. The title of this podcast today is God Will Have His Way, Investigating a Biblical View of the Current Political Climate. Now, there are a lot of us in this country. When I say a lot, I would say millions, that do not like the way things are happening and proceeding in this country, from certainly a political standpoint, but just from the standpoint of our daily lives and what we call the American way of life. Many of us feel like it's been intruded upon, imposed upon by corrupt politicians, and other people that influence those that are in authority that are corrupt. And especially from a common man standpoint, when I say a common man, I'm talking about a man or a woman that actually has to get out here and work for a living. You wasn't born with a golden spoon in the mouth with rich parents or somebody giving you your substance through life without any work on your side. So the common man, common woman, which is a good majority of us out here, probably most of us do not like the way things are going. And if you are anywhere similar to me, which I know some of you are because I talk to you, you complain a lot and you are frustrated and you are angry. I don't mind telling you that I am frustrated with life. I am frustrated with America. I am frustrated with politics. I am frustrated with the news media. I am frustrated with the Christian church. When I say Christian church, I do not mean the denomination of the Christian church. I mean the church, the ecclesia, the overall body of Christ. So you could say that the Patriot trainer here he's frustrated. And sometimes I take that frustration out by complaining. Complain to my wife. Sometimes I complain on the podcast. Sometimes I complain with associates. But the one thing I found out about complaining is it doesn't get you anywhere. As a matter of fact, it may hurt you in a lot of situations. So there's no point in complaining. There are certain things a person can do to take actions to resolve issues that are within their control that upset us. And there are things that we can do to ease the burden of other things that upset us. Number one, most likely, is prayer and our relationship with God. But God's going to have his way in politics. He's going to have his way in politics in the United States of America. He'll have his way in politics in Israel. He'll have his way in politics in Russia. He'll have his way in politics in China, et cetera, et cetera. God will have his final say-so. I want to read you something to back up what I'm saying from a biblical perspective this morning. And it's found in Daniel, the book of Daniel, in the Old Testament of your Bible. Daniel, known as a prophet of God, an Old Testament prophet of God. And Daniel and his associates, they were all in captivity at this point in time of which I'm speaking of. So essentially, they were slaves. But we read in chapter 2, so I'm going to give you the backstory for the sake of time of just reading scripture. Daniel was under the rule of King Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar, I think we could safely say, based on scriptural reference here, he was a nutcase, okay? He was an overzealous, corrupt king, dictator, that we really have what's going on in America right now. Truthfully, we really have more of a dictator than a president. But this guy was a nutcase. Yeah, kind of similarity to today too. But God was trying to deal with him, and he was having these dreams. Well, as most kings and political appointees and presidents, they'll seek advice from everybody except God. Listen, I don't need you, Mr. President. I don't need you, Mr. House Speaker. I don't need you, Mr. Senate Leader. I don't need you, Mr. Governor. I don't need any of you to seek advice from me. But you do need to seek advice on behalf of this nation and the states that you govern. You do need to seek that advice from an almighty God. And when you seek that advice from an almighty God, then the rest of us are going to benefit for it if you follow his lead. Now, Nebuchadnezzar here, he finally kind of sort of started seeking God's advice through the prophet Daniel. But he still didn't quite listen to what Daniel was saying. So Nebuchadnezzar was having these dreams. God was trying to deal with him. And so first thing he does, what does he do? He calls in the wise men or the magicians, the astrologers, the soothsayers, etc. Those that are really being led of an antichrist spirit or a spirit of witchcraft. He calls them in first. Well, they couldn't do anything for him other than heem haul around and try to make up a lie. Well, Nebuchadnezzar kind of saw right through that. And so he kind of had this resentment building in him. And like I started this podcast out, resentment hurts us. And resentment causes us to just not have a productive life. And it just seems like nothing falls into place when we walk around with a spirit of resentment all the time. And this is where Nebuchadnezzar had got with his own secular cohort of people. And so he was, well, I'll just read it in verse 10. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, "There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, or ruler that asks such things of any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other than can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not flesh." For this cause, the king was very, very furious, angry and furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went out that the wise men should be slain, but they sought Daniel and his followers to be slain, because even though Daniel wasn't part of this astrology and following after the spirit of witchcraft and what we might even refer to nowadays as a New Age religion, Daniel was known as a prophet. He gave messages from God, the true messages from God, and he prophesied and spoke of things and interpreted current times and both things to come. So he was known for that. In verse 14, now here's where Daniel made the right decision, where our spiritual leaders today and our political leaders are not making the correct decisions, at least in this man's opinion. But listen to this. Verse 14 of Daniel 2. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is this decree so hasty from the king?" Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire the mercies of God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So Daniel done two things here that was extremely important that I think most people forget to do or refuse to do because they feel like they'll give up some control or glory for themselves. Number one, Daniel humbled himself. he made a petition to the king, and he said, well, now you're, you know, in all due respect, king, if you'll give me some time, my God will give you the interpretation. You see, he had was convinced in his heart through his faith that his God, the true God, had the answer and that God was going to give it to him. So first thing Daniel did is he humbled himself. We don't see politicians humbling themselves these days, even when they get caught red-handed in some of the most disgusting crimes and lifestyles that anyone could imagine. They still don't humble themselves. They're arrogant and they're prideful, and they're going to get their just reward. The second thing Daniel did is he went to his fellow Christians. Well, they would not have been Christians. They were Jews. Excuse me. He went to his fellow Jews, which was their religion, their practicing religion. And, you know, we serve the same God that the Jew does, by the way, we Christians. And we serve the same Father. Difference in how we administer through the Messiah and Jesus, but that's another story. So Daniel went to his fellow companions, his spiritual brothers, and he said, okay, we've got an issue, and this is a tremendous issue, and the only way that we're going to overcome this issue and live, by the way, is if we pray. And so what did Daniel and his companions pray for? Well, they prayed, number one, and God tells us in numerous places in the Bible, the number one thing to pray for is wisdom. So you, my friend, if you are frustrated about the corruption and why it's not being taken care of, why we are being invaded by terrorists and illegals coming across the border, why you say, is somebody not doing something about it? Why does the corrupt dictator that's sitting in DC, why does he not see? Well, he does see. But here's the thing. Instead of just asking why, we can ask and pray for wisdom in the situation. What can we do on our part as individual citizens of the United States of America to curtail the evil that is being brought about upon us in the United States by our leadership? Well, we can pray. Get God's wisdom. The Bible also says, pray for those in leadership. Not that they're going to be blessed. That's not what the Bible says. It doesn't say just to say a general prayer for them. It says, pray for those in leadership that we might live a peaceful life. I'm not going to pray for them to continue in their corruption, their sin, and their disgust. I'm going to pray for them to make wisdom, godly decisions, even if they don't realize it's godly decisions, and make wise decisions that we can all in this country continue to have a prosperous, peaceful life. So Daniel prayed for wisdom, and then guess what? God was faithful. Guess what? God was faithful to Daniel and gave Daniel the interpretation. This very complicated interpretation of the dream is what the king had. Now, I want you to listen to what Daniel said when the dream was revealed to him. This is in verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then, and there are such a things as night visions, by the way. Another story, another teaching. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. We always want to give thanksgiving to God when we know, well, we want to give thanksgiving to him all the time, but especially when we know he's answered our prayer and he's just saved our life. Could you think of a better time to be giving thanksgiving to God? Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. It's God's personality, God's attributes. Now listen to this in verse 21. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings, and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth in him. I thank thee and praise thee, O God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known to us the king's matter. Now listen, back to verse 21. God changes the kings. He sets them up and takes them down. Now, I will be the first to tell you over multiple broadcast situations here. And by the way, now Life Investigated Podcast, the audio version of it is on about 16 different major platforms, Spotify, Audible, Apple. There's 16 platforms that this, anything that I upload is going to be on those platforms. So if you have a favorite podcast listening platform, you can find it on that. And please share that information with your neighbors, your friends, your church folks, et cetera, your work, people you work with. But anyway, he said, God puts up the kings and he takes them down. Now, many of us on the Christian conservative side, they call us all kinds of names, but yeah, I've been called names all my life, so yeah, it doesn't matter to me what anybody calls me. Because in my opinion, they're idiots anyway, so I really don't care what they call me. Bottom line is this. There's nothing I did not vote for this president that's seated in authority right now. I can promise you that. I can promise you I will not vote for him coming up. I can't perceive in my mind how anybody with any logic can vote for him. But then that is the beauty of America, living in a democratic republic, that you do have the choice to make your own decisions on politics. So I promise you, I do not support this man. I do not support his cabinet, nor anything, the corruption within the criminal justice system that I've served for 44 years. I certainly despise what I see is going on in that and how it's been used against American citizens. But here's the deal. We've all asked ourselves, how did old JB get elected? Now, many say it was because mostly leftist media people will say he was legitimately elected. Many people have gone to jail for saying he was illegitimately elected. Here's the bottom line. For whatever reason, listen to what the Bible says. Now, I don't particularly like it. I don't have to like everything in the Bible. I just have to understand that this is the way that it is. The reason you have the current political climate is because God set it up to be that way. Now, boy, many of you is not going to like that. You think, okay, why did God set this corrupt individual and these corrupt cabinet members and staffers and a corrupt Congress and a corrupt Senate? Why did he set them in authority? Here's the deal, my friends. America and the world have walked over into a season of time that is prophetic, that the Bible prophesied that as the end of a season come, to where it was time for Jesus Christ to come back to this earth to set up his actual government, governed from the holy city of Jerusalem on this earth, the Bible says that we would experience these kinds of things leading into the time of full judgment, which is the tribulation period. What we are seeing now is the birth channel being opened up wider than it's ever been opened up before for a spiritual birth. I am not one of those that believe there's going to be a great revival for America. And there's two reasons for that. Our sins as a corporate nation are still too great. There's three reasons for that. Our sins as a corporate nation are still too great. Our personal sins are still too great. And we have not repented of those. Now, you can have all the Hollywood preachers that you want to and all the tent revivalists that you want to say, oh, God's doing great and mighty things. Well, God has always done great and mighty things. God done great and mighty things during the captivity of Israel, when God's chosen people, Israel, were under captivity under King Nebuchadnezzar and being treated like slaves, or they were slaves, and dogs. God still done great things. He done great things for the Israelites. So yeah, God will still save people. The Holy Spirit is still working, and there will be people coming to revival meetings, and you will see movements of Holy Spirit, and you will see some anointed times. But some of these preachers are giving some false hope out here. America has not repented as a nation. Our government has not repented. Individuals as a mass whole in this country has not repented. And certainly in the world. Therefore, with the time coming and the position of the birth channel that we are in unto the return of Christ, and the fact that we will not give in to God, judgment is upon us. Not the judgment of the tribulation yet, but judgment is upon us. The only way, now listen, before some of you Trump supporters shut me off, I've already told you I'm not going to vote for Biden. I'm certainly not going to vote for Kennedy. So you can guess where my vote's going. But before you turn me off, listen to this. You can put Trump back in there all you want to, but without repentance, this nation will not go any further. Here's the other thing. Without repentance and without a refreshing coming upon each the American citizenry, if our heart's not broken over not only our sin, and if you say you're not a sinner, the Bible makes it very clear you're a liar, and that includes you folks that go to church too. You have sin, start at the house, straighten the house up, confess your sins, repent of them, and then start petitioning God for wisdom on how we can influence this nation to repentance. Now, if we have a movement of repentance in this nation, I believe in my spirit, there is a possibility for Trump to be elected. I believe without the renewing of the spirit and the refreshing of repentance that comes from repentance and changing our ways, no matter what Donald Trump does, no matter how corrupt the Democrats or how corrupt JB is or isn't. If America doesn't repent and you don't repent as individuals and we don't change the courses of our life, even if the Democrats don't know how to cheat, even if good old JB doesn't cheat, even if he stays in his basement again the entire time, without repentance of this nation, he's still going to be elected. The New Testament makes it very clear that you reap what you sow. We in America have sown a lot of discord. We have sown a lot of lasciviousness. We have sown the spirit of pride. We have sown the spirit of riches. Now, there's nothing wrong with being wealthy, having wealth. There's something wrong with the wealth having you, and then you turning into some arrogant little spoiled horse's butt, thinking you're above everybody else. Your money will not be able to be spent in heaven or hell. It's not going to do you any good either place. Your arrogance will be humbled. I promise you, the Bible also says that one day every knee will bow. And I'm just telling you, friends, we are on the preface of seeing many knees bow out of the sheer agony, judgment, and at least pockets of destruction that are soon to be on their way. So what can you do? I've already given you the answer. The very first thing to do is humble yourself, get before God, repent, and ask for wisdom to live this life out, irregardless of what nation you're in. Well, until next time, if you'll share this with other people, I will appreciate it. And I'm sure that God will have something in my heart again here soon. May not be a Bible study. It may be something else. But either way, I will put it out there to it. Thank you so much. See you later. Bye.